welcome to the Goal Lines Podcast, your Mid-Missouri football guide. If you don't already subscribe, find us on Apple Podcasts and Google Play.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's installment of the News Tribune Football Podcast featuring the Missouri Tigers. I'm your host, Tony Hawley. I'm sitting here with Kyle McAreevy of the News Tribune, and I feel like we've got a lot to talk about, but not a lot of it good from last week. Start with the final score, 40-12 Kansas State. Wasn't even probably 40-12 close, but other than that late touchdown, which, you know, at that point, I guess you have to try to keep going for it. We were all just kind of hoping that game might just get to an end at that point.
Yeah, that was bad.
Yeah.
That was really bad.
And the thing of it was you could almost forgive them if there were moments where you go, okay, this didn't look great, or this didn't look great. Really, nothing looked great. I mean, it's even like, you know, when you kicked the field goal early, or I guess it was maybe the second field goal, it just didn't look great either, where you're like, wow, even the field goals today are not looking great, where you just go, what's going on here? So, I mean, you know, we had a delay. The delay didn't seem to help matters in terms. Sometimes you're like, oh, we can get in and regroup. The delay didn't help them regroup at all. So you just go, God, it was just an ugly, ugly game from start to finish for the Tigers.
And, you know, you have a weather delay, and you think maybe that means, like, oh, this is a game that's so affected by weather that you can just throw it out. It didn't seem that way to
me.
It wasn't, you know, you had, like, the Chicago Bears game where they're playing in a swimming pool.
Right,
like,
exactly.
Okay, throw out that game. Nothing that happened matters.
Right.
That's not what Missouri's game was.
There were still enough measurable moments by every measure they were coming up short. You just go, this is not working on any level.
Yeah.
You know? So,
and you just don't have a built-in excuse in that game, I think.
Yeah.
Even with an actual stoppage for weather.
And, you know, we kind of talked a little bit about it off air, but we'll kind of flash back to the early part of the season and maybe our first podcast of the year, because one of the things that you mentioned we might see at some point happened on that last Saturday.
Yeah, you know, we really weren't sure about Brady Cook coming into the year. He was named the starter, thought he did an okay job week one. We talked about that in the, you know, post week one pod.
Right.
And, you know, I told you, he looked fine.
There
just wasn't a lot to learn in a gimme game like they had in week one, and you were going to learn more about him last week.
Yeah.
And boy, we did.
Right.
You know.
In fact, we learned that we might not see him at all the time because, you know, it's one of those things where, now, again, I think it may be one of those things, and it may get borne out over the course of the season, that the reason we'll keep seeing him is maybe that nobody else behind him is quite ready because, you know, it's not like we brought in, you know, somebody after him that just lit the world on fire. So you just go, you know, it was just a bad game for everybody that played for the Tigers.
Well, yeah, you replace him with the super-duper senior Jack Abraham, who's in, I think, his seventh year of college football.
Right.
And, you know, he threw six passes, two of them were intercepted, and immediately you put Brady back in.
Right.
So, I mean, there wasn't a lot to learn there, I guess, other than, yeah, Jack Abraham's probably not the instant spark to the offense that you were hoping for in that case.
Right.
But, you know, something we mentioned in that season preview was, you know, you just brought in a four-star freshman. If the offense looks like that, say, maybe not this week, because this is Abilene Christian should be another gimme game where you win by 30.
Should be.
If the offense looks like it did against Kansas State against Georgia, which
it's conceivably
Georgia's good. Is now the number one team in the country,
right.
So very well could.
Right.
Maybe you start getting Sam Horn chants from the crowd.
Yeah. And the other thing was, as far as the offense goes, it wasn't like you can even go, okay, well, passing wasn't great, so we'll just not worry about that. The rushing was super duper not great from the standpoint of where you just go, you know, Nathaniel Pete, 13 carries for 10 yards is something where you go, that's really troubling.
Yeah.
From the standpoint where you go, okay, we know that maybe, you know, Cody Schrader's not the fastest guy in the world, but he's going to get his churning yards. Well, he was only even 6 for 19, so you're not even getting a whole lot of bruising yards, and you're not getting the yards from the speed guy either. So you just go, gosh, you know, nothing seemed to be working well. Plus the fact that, you know, you try to I know we got a story about it, but from the standpoint of, you know, we had Luther Burden on the field almost every offensive play, but he didn't seem like he was even kind of part of things for long stretches of the game. So And you get it, that he's a freshman. That's going to happen at times. But it's just like you look at it and go, okay, passing doesn't work. Running doesn't work. We can't get Burden involved. What do you point to then where you go, yeah, that's you know, we can build on that. There was nothing to build on from that game.
No, there really wasn't. And even, you know, when Pete and Schrader are looking as not great as they did,
right.
You know, Elijah Young was supposed to be in the rotation and he was 2 for 3 yards.
Right.
You know, so it seems like he's fully dropped out of consideration for, you know, a full load. But yeah, you talk about Luther Burden, you know, he looked so electric week 1. And it seemed like, yeah, this is a guy you have to get the ball to. And Coach Drinkwitz, you know, came out this week and said, like, yeah, we need to get him more touches, but we need to play him fewer snaps.
Right, right.
You know, and maybe, yeah.
Seems counterintuitive, but it also maybe is going to be a thing where, yeah, if you're not just running him downfield on every play or having him be involved with everything, he's going to be a little fresher and thus might be able to get some separation on plays where you need to get him some separation.
Sure. And, you know, that makes sense. Maybe it's just he's a true freshman. This is his first experience playing college football.
Sure.
Probably moving a little bit faster than he thought it was going to.
Sure.
And it's probably, you know, tiring him down a little bit more than maybe.
Maybe so. So. Maybe so.
Yeah, yeah. It makes sense to not play a guy every single snap.
Well,
especially if you're only going to get him the ball.
And I think it is a natural instinct for the coaches who finally have a toy in their toy box like that, where you're like, I want to play with this toy every chance I get.
Yeah.
Well, it's like going back to the days when I got my first Atari. That was awesome till after the first 300 hours you spent on it. And after a point, you're even like, man, this ain't that great anymore. Even sometimes toys that are flashy, you can overuse them and overplay them. So find that specific balance where you're using them properly, and that's going to go a long way towards figuring out this team.
Well, and if you use something too much, it starts to wear down a bit.
Absolutely.
Right? You know, if you're running him downfield every play, or you're having him, you know, run 20, 30 yards every single snap.
Right.
He's just going to be tired.
Exactly. Exactly. Enough said about that one, I guess, other than the fact that it doesn't, you know, it's like we talked, we start out with an opponent you should beat. We have an opponent where it's a measuring stick. You didn't measure up. Now you've got an opponent you should beat. So I'm already looking past this week. I think it's one of those things where that's never good for anybody. I hope the Tigers aren't looking past them, because if they do, all of a sudden you're in trouble. But I just don't know what I should think about Abilene Christian, or how much weight I should put into things. I mean, I guess it's worth saying that, you know, they come in 2-0, so good for them. You know, they beat Lamar 28-14 and beat Prairie View 21-13. So I don't know what any of that means. I do feel like this should be a week where, if we come out of this game, you know, it's one thing to go, okay, Tigers came out of Louisiana Tech 52-24 winners, and and that's one of those things where you kind of overlook any negatives from that game because you're looking at the positives. But again, if we come out of this one where all of a sudden you come out and you're only like a 3-score winner in this one, then all of a sudden I think I start to worry again about the next game on the schedule, which is, you know, Auburn, and you just go, okay, all of a sudden you start to freak out and you go, you know, or that's one of those where you just all of a sudden get worried and just go, I don't know how much I know what to think of this team. So what happens this week will be very indicative to me of what we expect going forward.
I don't know if it will, kind of for the same reason.
Okay.
It's like, yeah, you could look incredible. Maybe Brady Cook has a perfect passing day. He completes every single throw for 300 yards and 5 touchdowns. And it doesn't tell you anything.
Okay.
Fair enough. I don't see Abilene Christian as being an opponent where you can learn a single thing.
Okay.
About
you. Okay. Fair enough. So then, what would be a good result, or what do you even think? Other than we just got to get this one under our belt, I guess, this week.
Go win by at least 4 touchdowns, and
okay,
you know, don't make any major mistakes.
Okay.
Because if you're making big mistakes against Abilene Christian, you're starting up SEC play next week.
Right.
You're going to be in trouble.
Sure, sure. So I guess then, what, if there's one thing out of that, then other than winning big, is there something that you want to see this week? Or again, is it something where even if we see it this week, we can't really trust it? So is there, if I said to you, what one thing do you want to see get fixed this week? Is it even going to matter going forward?
There are things that can, you know, matter going forward. I think actually seeing the implementation of that get Luther Burden more touches on fewer snaps thing,
okay,
if you actually start to implement that this week, he's facing corners who are going to be worse than anyone he faces the rest of the way, but, you know, it's still a good thing to get the ball in his hands. Seeing Pete and Schrader, you know, actually run the ball effectively would be nice. I assume they will, but, you know, it's just good to see, and might bring them confidence as they move forward.
Who do you think, then, if we do see, you know, less of Luther, do you see anybody, who's your pick, I guess, as the guy who maybe benefits, or the guy who steps up and says, hey, in an increased role, maybe I can show you what I can do? Is there anybody that you have in kind of, that you're thinking of is maybe somebody that we might be talking about next week as, okay, look at the game this guy had?
Dominic Lovett's been pretty good the first 2 weeks. Okay. He was kind of the only offensive player where, if you just look at the stats, it looks okay.
Sure.
After last week, I think he had something like 7 for 56 receiving. You know, that's a fine day.
Right.
And especially when the offense didn't do anything.
Right.
That's actually a pretty good day.
Exactly.
So
yeah.
I think he could be, you know, he was expected, I think, to be the number one receiver coming in this year, and he could show that that's the role he's really embracing.
Okay. We didn't talk about it much in terms of game, because we talked a lot about the offense struggling. What did you think of the Missouri defense against K-State? Because I don't think we came in thinking it was a K-State that was going to be, you know, super-duper high octane. You know, they put up 40. So is that worrisome? Is that a byproduct of your offense is doing nothing, so your defense is kind of playing from behind in the field position game long? How worried should we be about the Missouri defense at this point?
It's probably a mix of both, which is the case, you know, most of the time. Kansas State's offense is probably better than we were expecting. You know, they rushed for 235. That's pretty impressive.
Right.
Going against any Power 5 team, that's a good outing.
Yeah.
But, you know, giving up 20 consecutive points in the first half, I mean, part of that is that they're consecutive points because the offense isn't scoring.
Right.
Right?
Right.
So if the offense, you know, is able to hold on to the ball a little bit and eat up some of the clock, then, you know, the defense has more time to rest, more time to just not be on the field, and they probably look a little better. So I think a big part of it was how much they just had to be out there because the offense couldn't move.
Yeah.
But, I mean, yeah, 40 points and 200 yards on the ground, that's not a good day.
Right, right.
Right, so I think it's a mix of Kansas State's probably better than we thought, and Missouri's offense kept Missouri's defense on the field all day.
So I guess we'll get to the prediction point of the podcast, and I'm going to flip it up on you a little bit from the standpoint of, okay, 11 o'clock start Saturday. By noon, how many boos are there and how many cheers are there at that point? And then part two is then what's the final score? But the first part is, after about an hour's worth of play on Saturday, how ecstatic or irritated are the Mizzou faithful?
I have to think that the coaching staff will script up their first couple of drives, and going against Abilene Christian, you should be able to score.
Right.
And you have a scripted offense.
Sure.
So I think they'll be in a good enough position where they're not getting booed by noon, I would hope. But going back to Louisiana Tech, they only scored a field goal in the first quarter.
Right.
I would hope that the offense is able to put the Tigers ahead early, to the point where fans aren't super frustrated with specifically that game.
Okay.
And I'll say Missouri wins 49-14.
All right, that should do it for this week. For Kyle McAravey, I'm Tony Hawley saying thanks for listening.
For more information about this week's game, visit newstribune.com and get game updates and more college sports content all week by following Kyle McAravey on Twitter at Kyle_McAravey. That's McAravey. Thanks for listening.